Thanks for listening to The Drive on Demand, presented by Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment.
Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766.
Or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Oh my gosh. So, I guess we had a little Vaughn versus Mark Kisla moment. I love it. I love Kiz. Kiz is my guy.
There was a little Cease moment in there as well.
I saw that.
Little Cecil Lambie moment in there.
I know. Vaughn started drifting off. Do we have that too, Richie? The Cecil? We do? Oh, we might as well just rip on everybody, I suppose, of our brethren. Mark is a... Nick, do you know Mark at all?
Yes, I do. He and I had some beef, Twitter beef back in the day.
Oh, my God. About what? What is it with Mark and everybody? What was your beef?
Well, I was just kind of watching games and just commenting as far as to what I was seeing. And we happened to be on the same timeline in which he said something to me that as players, you never want to hear someone in the media tell you, hey, listen, I've been covering this game longer than you've been playing. Uh-huh. So pretty much stay in your lane. And I started to respond with, you know, you might have covered a game, but you've never laced them up and played. But I thought, you know what? I would never do that. So I thought about it, but I never really put that out there. And I just said, you know what? You have your own opinion. I have mine. Let's agree to disagree. So we had some beef, but I didn't really unleash like I wanted to because I wanted to be professional.
Man, Mark's a pussycat. He's harmless. He's my... Do you have a beef with Kiz?
Me? No. I've never beefed with Kiz.
Okay.
I was well aware of him. I'll tell you that.
Mark, what does that mean?
I mean, as a player, I mean, look, it's no secret. Mark is the only guy in town that will really crush guys in his columns. I mean, like, really crush guys. Mm-hmm. So I was well aware of who he was. But no, I actually worked with Kiz a little bit in retirement. And as a player, at least that I'm aware of, he never crushed me. So, yeah, we're cool.
Okay. All right. Well, anyways, here's we'll get to Cecil in a second, but we'll do Kiz first. Oh, no, here it is, right here. Here we go.
The way you describe the Vikings, it kind of sounds like the team you guys could be your bloke in terms of the way you ran your offense.
This guy right here, man. Do you like practice some of these questions or your homework?
Wow.
No, our team is great. Our team is great. You know, the record is a clear indicator of what type of team we are. We got great head coaches. We got great players.
Wow, that was cold right there.
The way you ran your offense.
This guy right here, man.
What is that code for? When an athlete says, this guy right here, man.
You know what that means.
What does it mean?
Read between the lines.
Tell me what it means.
Okay.
It's what I think every time you open your mouth.
So it's like, this guy right here is like, come on, man. I mean, you're going to actually say these type of things. And I'm trying to be PC right now, right? I'm trying to be politically correct.
Well, don't be PC. Just don't say anything you can't say on the radio. Well, what does it mean? This guy right here, what is an athlete thinking when he says...
Go stick this dude in a hole somewhere. Because why would you ask a question like that, right? You're asking me about another defense. I'm like, well, is it... You know, the Minnesota Vikings, this is the defense that you guys are supposed to be. You're basically saying that, you know, Von Miller and the guys on this team defensively, that they're no-name guys. And Von is telling you, no, we have ballers on this team. We have guys that I respect, okay, that I went to war with. So, hey, get that guy out of here. Scram.
I can understand when players get upset with the media. I'm not going to lie. That one seemed a little bit sensitive.
Okay, let me hear the rest.
Do you like practice some of these questions or your homework?
See, that's
no,
where
start the whole question over. I want to hear.
That's where, like, are you guys buddies here? Are we having or
no?
Are
that's
we...
not a buddy buddy no. moment. D-Mac.
Okay,
no.
All right.
The way you describe the Vikings, it sounds like the team you guys could be your bloke in terms of the way you ran your offense.
This guy right here, man.
Whoa, hold on. I absolutely understand when athletes have beef. But that question, there was nothing. What was in that question? Seriously, it complimented the other team, I guess? You can't compliment the other team?
No, it's just like, you know, the way you guys play defense and the way that they play, you know, defense, like, you guys want to be them. Like he was only calling the team, the Broncos currently, wannabes. That's what he said, wannabes. You want to be like this team, but you're not.
I would not have heard it that way. I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Well, this Kisla guy.
Do you, like, practice some of these questions when you go home? Like,
oof, cold. We want to get to the Cecil stuff.
It was a sick burn, though. The Cecil one's my favorite. You really need the visual evidence to truly understand the moment.
You want to describe it?
Sure. Well, go ahead and play. Do we have it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, go ahead and play, and then I'll describe it.
Okay.
What did you just say about the pressure? That was a stat? That was another stat, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know how to answer that one.
We need to hear the question. Richie will get it.
All right.
Richie will get it.
So the question was...
We'll find it in a second. Right. Why don't you describe... Because we're going to hear it in a second. Why don't you describe Vaughn's facial expressions while Cecil was asking the question?
Well, Cecil, you know, Vaughn was kind of getting crushed with all these sack questions, you know, as in insinuating that he's not playing good football. And then so Cecil decided to toss a little softball out there. You got it? Go ahead.
Okay.
Well, I know everyone concentrates on sacks, but you're number one in the league in incompletions caused by your pressure. So, you know, is that something you look at? Is that something you know? Like, hey, I'm causing pressure, and I'm having a good, strong season, even though people are so focused on sack pressure.
Pause it for a second. Dude, that is the softball of softballs right there.
That was not a softball.
That's like your dad asking you a question.
That wasn't a softball. That was a massage on your back.
Right. Hey, son, even though you're not getting the most important stats, look how often you help your other teammates get water. I mean, you're really contributing to things.
So the best part about it...
Where is Cecil going with that?
The best part about it is that Cecil was trying to be the good cop in the midst of a bad cop session, and Vaughn's getting mad at everybody, and Vaughn Miller's eyes, he looks to the side, and then he opens his mouth wide open, like... What is this guy? What is that a stat? What?
I never, huh? You know what? In all honesty,
I've never heard that stat.
I did not know that was a stat.
Well, nobody has. Only Cecil Lammy would.
Where do you even find that stat?
Cecil is my dog. I love Cecil.
Oh, we all love Cecil.
He's my guy, but that's a stat that only Cecil would know.
Wait, go back. What was that stat again? Forced incompletions?
So it says pressure is leading to incompleted passes.
That's a stat?
Yeah, he found that on the dark web somewhere.
I don't know where that stat is.
Wow.
Yeah, you got to go to the dark webs to find it.
It's number one in incompletions forced by your pressure.
Where is that stat? Where would I find that stat?
There's got to be a million filters on Pro Football Reference you can do.
Wow. All right, go ahead, play it again.
Well, I know everyone concentrates on sacks, but you're number one in the league in incompletions caused by your pressure. So, you know, is that something you look at? Is that something you know? Like, hey, I'm causing pressure, and I'm having a good, strong season, even though people are so focused on sack points.
What did you just say about the pressure? There's a stat. That's another stat, right? I mean, I'm just...
No, do it again.
I don't know.
Do it again.
I don't know how to answer that one.
Hold on, do it again.
Can I help my guy out, Cecil, for just a second before we replay that?
Vaughn didn't even know it was a stat.
Because what Cecil was trying to say...
No, I don't care what he's trying to say.
But Cecil was trying to say, like, in the world of where we judge guy edge rushers based on the number of sacks, right? Have fun. I know.
Come on.
But he's trying to say that Vaughn has created... a lot of pressures, and where do you value pressures to sex?
Who cares?
He's bringing up
What did you just say?
You're missing the whole point.
What did I do with what? I do what with who? I'm number one? Thank you, Cecil. I like your shoes. James Merrillat will join us next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler, Nick, and D-Mac.
talking to James Merrillat. Hi, James. How are you, pal?
I'm good. How are you?
He's at 1043thefan.com. We're having some fun with our guys, Kiz and Cecil. And listen, I'm not perfect. I've asked plenty of stupid questions over the years, but I got to have, you know, I'm feeling a little sympathy for the athletes when there's like, what is Vaughn supposed to say to some of this stuff? I mean, he's not having the greatest year statistically. He's a really good player. What else is there to say? I don't think Vaughn really looks all that deeply into his numbers, or I think he just tries to prepare and play as good as he can. What else is there, James? Help me. What am I missing here?
No, I'm with you. And, you know, he's up there every single week. He's out there, you know, on Thursdays when it's the head coach, the coordinators, and Vaughn. And it's essentially been the same question since, like, week three, right, when this team didn't have any sacks as a team, and obviously he didn't have any. There's only so many ways you can say the same thing and answer the exact same question. You know, I didn't think he was over-the-top rude today or anything. I mean, it wasn't – I know he kind of ended it abruptly, and, you know, the press conference had a strange finish, but it wasn't like Baker Mayfield the week before they played the Broncos when he went off on the reporter. It was just sort of awkward and a guy who was over it, and I can see why he's over it at this point. He's tired of answering the same question.
You know, listen, as far as I'm concerned, Vaughn, you're cool. You'll do whatever you do. I don't need to grill Vaughn every single week about this stuff. I mean, what seriously is he going to say? So I don't know. Maybe I'm sounding like an athlete here, which is definitely not the case. Got to stick up my brethren, I mean, better.
I don't see the point of grilling the guy either, and I don't think he's played poorly. Like his numbers are disappointing. Cecil sort of found that random stat.
By the way, Arnie,
did you hear that?
Arnie Stapleton from AP, who's a great reporter, just sent me a text saying Cecil's stat came from Next Gen Stats. So, okay, yeah. It exists. It's out there. And, you know, Cecil wasn't trying to Cecil was trying to help Vaughn.
Cecil was being a good cop.
He was definitely being a good cop right there.
I just, you know, Vaughn is a guy that, you know, his numbers aren't great, but I think, you know, for the most part, he's played fine this year. He's not getting paid like a guy who should be playing fine. But look, Von Miller's not their problem, so drilling him doesn't make much sense. If we could all, you know, get an audience with John Elway and grill him about how he's handled the Drew Lock situation, okay, that makes more sense. I mean, I love a good grilling from the media. I just don't think Vaughn's the right target at the moment. It seems like the least of their problems.
I agree.
James, when we look at the matchup Sunday, Minnesota versus Denver Broncos, and we talked all week about Kubiak and, you know, the similarities between this offense and the one that we employ here, will we be looking at the same offense, or are we looking at something totally different?
Well, I don't know if it'll be totally different, but it's going to be different. I mean, Chris Harris Jr., you know, a couple of days ago was meeting the media, and he was describing the Gary Kubiak offense, and he's talking about all these rollouts and bootlegs, and I'm like, man, we haven't seen much of that this year. Maybe a little bit with Brandon Allen when he hit Noah Fant with a nice pass, but that's about it. And then he talks about how Gary Kubiak likes to take deep shots, and you got to be ready for that. I'm like, well, we certainly haven't seen that. So I wrote a piece for the website of, like, are the Broncos really running the Gary Kubiak offense? Because what Chris Harris Jr. described is not what I've been watching for 9 weeks. So, yeah, I think we're going to see a version of it of a couple of things. One, here's the true Gary Kubiak offense. That's the first part of it. But two, here's that offense when you have Kirk Cousins and Dalvin Cook and Diggs and maybe Thielen and Kyle Rudolph. Like, when you have the right guys to run it, it's a whole different offense. And the Broncos have some nice pieces. I think Fant's going to be a good player. Cortland Sutton's a good player. Philip Lindsay's a good player. But, like, it's not all there yet and hasn't come together. So I think what we'll see is if you're a fan of the Gary Kubiak offense, which I'm on the fence, you'll see it at its best on Sunday. So you can make a true determination if you like it when you get to watch the Vikings run it.
All right, James, what's going on at 1043thefan.com?
Oh, man, lots of stuff, lots of content. Cecil breaking it all down with Next Gen Stats. You got to get there to read all that. But, no, there's Covered all the teams, covered all the bases, videos, podcasts, you know, stories, but also make sure people sign up for the daily. Go to the website. That way you get the email right to your inbox every morning, and it's got all the content we've produced in the previous 24 hours.
All right, thanks, James. We appreciate it. We'll look for you on 1043thefan.com. And our guy Johnny Hart is taking slings and arrows again. Holy cow, Johnny. You got to see what John – I mean, my goodness, James. What's going on with Johnny Love?
Welcome to the club, man. If you if you say anything negative about the Avs, they are coming after you.
Wow. Well, James, I appreciate it. When we come back, I will kill you with truth, and it is about the Avalanche. And it's got to be said. It's the most important thing to be said about the Avalanche this year. Mm-hmm. Right. So all you Avs fans out there, get ready to be completely insulted. That comes up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Nick, and Tyler.
I'm just an old truth teller.
Time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Tell the truth!
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
All right, this is a test for all you Avalanche fans, and you know who you are. That gargantuan chip on your shoulder. Oh my god, the crybaby chip on the shoulder Avs fans. We all love the Avs, but God forbid that we don't love the Avs as much as you. That's right. The Avs are playing well. They got a guy who weighs 130 pounds playing goalie now. Werner. He's a ladder. That was funny. So I'm not ragging on the team. I'm not ripping on them whatsoever. We love the Avs. The Avs are fantastic. I don't care. They have losing streaks every now and then. We know they're going to be good when they're all healthy. It's awesome they're having the stadium series coming up. Wintertime down in Falconland, down in Colorado Springs. Horrible place. But still, they're down there, and I'm sure it's going to be fun. Oh, yeah, I'm scarred by my time in Colorado Springs.
Oh,
yeah. Nothing personal against the Springs, but I just hate going there. The response to our guy Johnny Love on the Avs at 1043thefan.com has been brutal, because all Johnny had the nerve to do was point out that they're 15th in the league in attendance. So maybe you want to pick it up. And man, I saw, you know, pickets and lanterns. They were coming after Johnny. And Johnny's pretty quick, so you're going to have to come after him, you know, kind of a tough way. Go Creek. But I hope we're finding some common ground on this one. The Avs have released their jersey for the outdoor game. It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. And listen, I am no fashion magnet, obviously. How many stains am I comporting right now? And if my clothing doesn't have some sort of logo of where my kids go to college, I'm probably not wearing it, unless I was given it for free. But give me a break with this Avs jersey. I mean, I know what you were kind of trying to do, but this thing is freaking hideous. And I've already cheated on this because I've gone and I've seen real hockey fans, real Avalanche fans, and they hate it too. So there's no couch in this one. I don't know who came up with the design with it. I don't know how committed you are to it. But it is the worst Avalanche sweater design that I seriously have ever seen. And I'll be stunned if anybody with a straight face can tell me otherwise. There's a lot of great things going on with the Avalanche this year. This isn't one of them. Swing and a miss. And sorry, Avs and Avs fans, I kill you with truth. This jersey sucks. Good luck selling this one. And that's the truth.
Oh, man.
That was a mouthful, D-Mac.
Which one is it? Are you making fun of Avalanche fans, or you got their back? Which one is it?
I think I got their back.
Because you took both sides in that one.
I think I got their back by saying this jersey is awful.
This jersey's fine. This jersey's exciting.
Dude, my son
it's
is
fine.
My older son
You're
is
You're such a baby. You sound like them now. Oh, my gosh.
No.
Oh, why would we?
You like the jersey? Seriously.
I think they're fine. I think the creativity is good.
Wait, hold on. He used a word to describe it, and it started with a C, and it's called creativity. I'm looking at this jersey right now.
What do you think about
it? And there's no creativity in this. I believe maybe my 2-year-old could have put something together like this, because I don't see anything that describes or say in, like style or substance or anything.
It looks exactly like it's supposed to look for an outside game. You're going back in time. It's supposed to be old school.
Yeah, you're right.
You're supposed to be wearing this sweat.
It looks outside.
That's what the game is.
Yeah, like you should throw it outside.
Yeah, man.
That's what it looks like.
That's what the game is.
Dude, my son.
You guys are such babies.
My son.
Oh, my gosh.
My older son is the biggest hockey fan I know. He has at least 10 Av shirts, including a throwback Nordiques that he loves.
Yeah, you're not selling this one.
He reached out to me today with, like, what is this? Like, he was, like, repulsed by it.
There's a lot of people saying that.
Are you just being a devil's advocate?
No, I'm not.
Just
I actually
think it's okay?
I think it fits the event perfectly.
No, it doesn't. Can we get Tyler's eyes checked? Because I think there's something wrong.
Let's go.
This is supposed to be like an old school feel. You're going outside. You're playing
back in
the day.
All right. Nick, you don't like
it. No, I don't.
And you're a fashion. Richie has a tailor. You got a suit guy, right?
I do.
Got a suit guy.
If your suit guy gave this suit something similar to you, would you wear it?
Fashion-wise, what do you think?
They're not good.
They're not good.
Why
are they not good? Fashion-wise.
The front logo, I'm pulling it up right now so that I'm not describing it inaccurately, but the front logo is just weird, and I see what they were trying to do with, like, the maroon coloring is supposed to accent the white and look like mountains, but it's all supposed to be an A. And I get what they were trying to do, but it just doesn't look good. I mean, the jerseys maybe it's because the jerseys they wear now are already so cool.
It's a bad
contrast when you put them next to each other. But yeah, my initial reaction was kind of a yes.
It's like a throwback game in the NFL.
Yeah,
right?
That's what
it's supposed to be.
They need to throw them way back because that white that's coming down in the form of an A. From an aesthetic point, it looks like a table napkin that you put on when you're going to dine and eat a meal so you don't spill anything on your shirt.
I just can't believe
it looks like.
For an event this big, this is what they came up with. Like,
who signed off on this?
More important question. What's your beef with the Springs, man?
Oh, I've got fired from KBPI, and I had to take a job down there, and I had to commute from Centennial to Colorado Springs 2.5 hours a day for 5.5 years.
Your boss lives in the Springs.
Yeah, he lives in the northern part of the Springs. I wish I worked in the north.
It's that south side? You hate the south side?
Dude, when you get off on South Circle as an exit, and I know every freaking exit in the Springs, but if you have to go all the way to South Circle, your life stinks if you take a left, not a right.
If you go up to the Broadmoor.
If you take a right, you may be going to the Broadmoor.
Yeah.
Have you ever got on South Circle and taken a left?
Yes, I have, as a matter of fact.
There's no way
you
have
done
that. It
takes you right on back downtown. I have.
No, well,
who's right? Now you believe me? Now you believe me.
Do you want me to list the industrial parks you have to go through in order to get back downtown?
It's terrible. But I have been there, and I have driven that.
5.5 years. I'm scarred. It's nothing personal against the people that live there. I just hate it.
You were grinding, D-Mac. I respect that. You were grinding.
Oh, dude. I was grinding, sure.
You have your battle scars.
Oh, there's
time. Everyone needs their battle scars.
The Air Force is fine. I've been to the Air Force a bunch of times. The Air Force is actually pretty cool. The game's going to be awesome. I just can't stand Colorado Springs.
Yeah, you got to come hang with my people at the Broadmoor.
Your people? That's your people? Yeah, it's not my people. We took a left, not a right. Anyways, there you go, Avs fans. See, I'm not seeing really a lot of negative reaction here. I think most Avs fans actually agree with me on this one.
Oh, they do, for sure.
Yeah. So I know
I think I have crushed on these.
I have your back, Avs fans. This is me.
You kind of made fun of them.
No, I say they have a large chip on their shoulder.
At the beginning of I Kill You With Truth?
They have a lot. Oh my God! Do not even get me there.
Were you mocking them for going after Johnny Hart?
Well, nobody has a bigger chip on their shoulders than Avalanche fans.
So were you mocking them?
I'm not mocking them. I'm killing you with truth.
He's being honest.
I'm not mocking them. I'm telling you.
It kind of felt like you were mocking them.
No way, man. And of course they'll be upset by that. But that's what they do. They have this big chip on their shoulder.
I'm just trying to get them behind me.
Well, okay.
You could, if you want to, toss him in that segment. You know, the truth hurts. And sometimes it does.
Listen, they'll disagree with you. They're on my side on this. This jersey is not good. And a lot of people were looking forward to this event. And a lot of people were excited to gear up for it. And you came out with this sweater?
I'm going to go buy it.
Go buy it. Get the quadruple XL so maybe you can fit in it.
It's like an ugly Christmas sweater.
And then maybe... It's awful!
That's what it's like.
Seriously. What Avs fan out there is buying this thing? I was... Taylor, are you being serious? It's $156.
Taylor,
bucks.
You got right, my for back? How expensive they are?
$156.
No, really?
Get this man a microphone. Get
seriously.
This man a microphone.
Taylor, I'm not,
I want to see the receipt.
Now look how nervous
you
he is.
You are not allowed to wear my shades anymore. You cannot wear my glasses anymore.
Wait,
after that statement.
Are you seriously going to spend... And you make nothing.
Don't get nervous. Don't let them bully you.
Are you going to spend $156 on this?
He is so... He's sweating.
I would. I mean...
No.
Are you?
I like it. I might buy it. I want to go to the game. If I go to the game, I'll get the sweater. It looks pretty sweet.
All right, Taylor.
What?
There you go.
He's so full of crap.
There you go.
You know what, Taylor? Right now, you're being Thad.
Extra
right
Christmas
now.
Christmas bonus on the way, Taylor.
You're being Thad right now because Taylor would never say that.
When we come back, it's Gary Kubiak week, day 4, as we lead up to this. Something positive. How did Gary Kubiak get the Broncos to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl? Your teams. We'll look at each of the playoff games and how that happened coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's D-Mac, Tyler, and Nick. Gary Kubiak week, day 4.
Second, 11, shotgun snap, belt high. Cocks his arm, throws a pass down the middle, over the shoulder, catch at the goal line, and into the end zone, touchdown. Grabbed on the play by the tight end, Daniels. Third and goal at the 1. Manning will hand off. Anderson over the left guard, trying to knife. He does, spinning in, touchdown, Denver. They've taken the lead with 3 to play. Shotgun snap, drops back 5, winds up, hit the ball, joint free. It rolls, it's loose, it's down, it's fumbled. It's being picked up on the play by Ward, who got the ball at the 10, ran to the 5 and fell there. Denver's got the ball!
Tyler, when you hear these the highlights, what do you think of in terms of that season? When you hear that stuff, the 2015 season.
Oh man, goosebumps without a doubt. I think about the Patriots game in the playoffs. I think about Ryan Harris out there on a T-pole cutting the DB, C.J. Anderson taking it, icing the game over. I think about Tom Brady having Gronkowski wide open on a 2-point conversion and just inexplicably just avoiding him entirely. I think about the goosebumps that I have from the Super Bowl and my kids that, holy cow. You want to talk about something cool? So after the Super Bowl, I run over to the side of the stadium, start pulling my family over, and the security guards are like, hey, you can't do that. You can't bring them down on the field. And I'm like, yes, I can. And so I just keep pulling them down, and then it gets down to my mom, and my mom's the last one. So I'm pulling her over, and he's like, you can't pull her over. I said, yes, I can. I just won the Super Bowl. And so I pull her over, and the stadium's like all yelling at the security guard. My kids are down there on the field doing snow angels.
Yeah, you got
the
some
confetti.
Great pictures of that.
Oh, yeah. Doing snow angels. My daughter starts collecting the confetti, putting it in a helmet, puts it in my wife's purse. We still have that confetti. Oh, yeah, goosebumps.
Well, let's go back a little bit and think about it in terms of Gary Kubiak. So you get a bye, which is great, right?
Yeah.
What does the bye mean? And Nick, I don't know how many byes that you were part of. I mean, you went to the playoffs quite a few times yourself. How many bye weeks were you involved with?
About 2 at the time.
2? Yeah. Okay. What does that bye week mean in the playoffs?
It's so important because it allows you to get guys healthy. And usually when a team wins a Super Bowl, they may not be the most talented. It's about being the healthiest team at that particular point. So your coaches have an opportunity to prepare another week.
Okay.
To look at your opponent, to change a couple things up. It allows you for self-evaluation.
How did Gary use that bye that year?
Oh, just time off, rest, recover. That's all it was. You know, you can't really prepare all too much for the next opponent. You don't know who you're going to play. So
you took a break. You weren't getting too much pressure. Gary gave you a break.
But really, I mean, what makes a bye so important? Well, it's pretty obvious. It's just one less game you can lose. You know, like, that's a huge deal. That's an enormous deal.
All right. You get the bye. You got the Steelers.
Uh-huh.
January 17th, you win 23-16. What do you remember from that game?
You know, That one's a little bit more foggy for me.
No kidding.
What were the, like, I remember the first Steelers game actually more than I remember that one.
Okay.
You remember the first one, right? When Emmanuel was just going nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And then somehow we just slipped it all away. It fell out of our fingertips.
Do you want me to walk you through the game?
Yeah, help me. Spark my memory.
First quarter, you get a field goal, 28-yard field goal from Brandon McManus. So the drive, you know, fell a little short, unfortunately.
Yeah.
McManus hit a 41-yarder, and it's 6-0. However, Pittsburgh scores a touchdown, so you're down 7-6 after one.
Mm.
Coming back to you at all?
No, it does. It does. Yeah, for sure.
Then
I'm trying to think of like the Patriots. I can think of like five or six really impactful plays. I can't think of any in that game, though.
You're going back and forth, and they score another field goal in the second, but McManus kicks a 51-yarder. So McManus, three field goals to make it 10-9 going into halftime.
Do you remember how money McManus was that year?
He didn't miss a field goal.
It was unreal.
He was unbelievable.
He was the most ice kicker I've ever been around. It was mind-blowing to me when he started to have some struggles after that because he got paid, and he carried us throughout those playoffs. You know, our offense, we were moving as far as yardage goes, but we weren't scoring points.
We weren't finishing. Peyton Manning, weren't finishing.
Yeah, we weren't finishing, and we were relying on Brandon McManus. I do remember in the playoffs how our running game took over, and it was different. And I remember the way things changed for us offensively, and it was really, really unique, and this might sound like a shot at Gary Kubiak, but it's the entire opposite. It really is a compliment. When we got to the playoffs, it was the first time that he really looked at Peyton Manning, I believe, and said, go do your thing.
Mm.
And like that Top Gun package I'm talking about, we spent almost the entirety of those games on the line of scrimmage, letting Peyton Manning do his thing, adjust to the plays, see the defense, see the blitz, change the plays. And we were operating out of shotgun almost the entirety of the playoffs. And our running game got better. Why? Not because the offensive line got better, not because C.J. Anderson got better, but because Peyton Manning got us in the right play at the right time.
You did score a touchdown in the fourth quarter, and you went for two.
Don't recall that.
Wow, you had to be part of that package, though.
Do you recall that?
I guess not really. If you can't.
I don't recall it.
All right, but you went for two. You made it. It was 20-13. Then you got another field goal. Brandon McManus kicked five field goals in that game. Five field goals. You guys scored one touchdown. All right, that's Pittsburgh. You're a little hazy on that one. Okay, no problem. We move on to the Patriots game. You remember that one?
Yeah, I already gave my memories of that one, but. Man.
So let me talk to Gary Kubiak.
Do you remember DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller in the Patriots game? Oh, my gosh.
Talk to me about it.
I have never seen two tackles get their butts whipped in a more egregious manner in my entire life.
What do you mean?
Oh, my gosh. Nate Solder and was it Cannon at the time? I believe it was. The right tackle. Mm-hmm. DeMarcus Ware and Von Miller were destroying them, taking their souls, and Tom Brady was running for his life. It was unreal, man. D. Ware was dipping around the edge, looking like he was 23 years old with this dip move, and Nate Solder couldn't do anything about it. I remember looking across the line of scrimmage, across to the other sideline, and thinking to myself, man, actually, like, I've been there as a tackle, and this sucks. Like, holy cow, I almost feel bad for these guys.
I know what was interesting about that game that in particular, there was one time that Von Miller came off the edge, and Tom Brady was trying to set up, and Vaughn tried to literally take the ball away from him, and it reminds me.
Oh, well, he did that to Cam Newton.
Exactly.
The Super Bowl.
And that's why I brought it up. It's like he did it in the game against the Patriots, and then in the Super Bowl, he actually took the ball out of Cam's hands.
Oh, well, the Super Bowl one was ridiculous. He didn't even attempt to tackle him, not even remotely. He went for the ball, and then with two hands, yanked that thing out and didn't even try to take Cam down. But I also remember, okay, so we go down and we've got that T-pole. C.J. Anderson could just, we go, we score, everything's amazing. Then the Patriots, they got a chance, right? And they come back. Tom Brady leads them down and they've got a 2-point conversion. And Rob Gronkowski doesn't have somebody within 6 yards of him.
It's amazing.
I mean, not within six yards of him.
And he had just made two. He made the fourth down catch down the middle of the field, and he caught the touchdown pass. And the fact that Tom Brady just to not throw it in his general direction on the two-point conversion. To this day, I don't understand.
I'm sitting here thinking to myself, it's all over. You know, like holy cow.
Well, it would have tied the game. You would have gone over.
Well, I understand. But, I mean, you're playing Tom Brady. He's playing pretty fresh. You don't feel very good about it. If they go, they get the momentum. You go into overtime. It didn't feel good at that moment.
How did it feel on the sidelines?
When we won it or what?
Yep.
Man. I don't even know how to find words for it. I mean, just full body goosebumps, full body. It's just surreal. We did the same thing then, by the way. We had the Broncos colored confetti going on after the championship game, after the AFC championship game. And I don't even know how to put words into it. It's just a surreal feeling that you work your entire life. At that moment, you did not even remotely think that you could lose the Super Bowl. I know that much.
You were convinced you're going to win.
Oh, yeah, and nobody in the world thought we could win. We were such dogs in that game. Do you remember?
I do. We'll get to the Super Bowl just in a second. You lost that AFC championship game.
Yes.
Was your thought when you won, we're going to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
What was your thought after you had lost that AFC championship game?
It was almost like the world was ending. Mm. I remember like it was yesterday. I sat in my locker for an extra 30 minutes when I rode home with, my wife now, who's my girlfriend. We didn't talk. It was almost like she knew not to ask any questions about the game.
Were your thoughts, I may never get to this point again, or was it about the Super Bowl itself? What was it?
Well, the idea was that I knew that had we gone, we would have defeated Seattle.
Mm.
And I tried to put things in a positive perspective and spin them so I could feel good about that loss and say, you know what? We're going to come back with the same team next year. And we're going to get right back there, and we're going to do it again.
Right.
But that's not how it works in sports.
Poof. Okay. So you're confident. We're going to win.
Yeah.
You know what?
And Peyton Manning was rolling, by the way. He was. I know statistically we weren't scoring a lot of points, but I'm going to tell you right now that it was his show, and it was different than anything we'd ever done.
Okay.
And it all started in that Chargers game, and it carried forward, man. We all knew that Peyton Manning was running the show. And the running game, I'm telling you, you guys, that was all due to Peyton Manning, all of it.
The numbers for Peyton against the Patriots, 17 of 32.
Okay.
For 176 yards with two touchdowns. Do you know who caught the two touchdowns?
Well, didn't Jordan Norwood?
No.
No.
Against the Patriots, AFC Championship game.
No, I don't.
Was it Virgil Green?
Oh, you're close. You're down the right path.
Owen
Daniels.
That's right. Tight and then he ran into the tunnel, right?
Yeah.
Right after he caught it, he ran into the tunnel.
So his rating was a 90.1, which is okay, not great. He didn't have any interceptions, two touchdowns, threw for 176 yards. Okay, Super Bowl. Here's what was cool for me is covering the Broncos in the Super Bowl 2 years previous. It was, and this is probably the best thing Gary Kubiak did. Because Gary Kubiak had nothing to do with that team 2 years previous. It was Foxy, who I love. But, oh my God, what a mess in New York. From the preparation to it, to not allowing Derek Wolfe and Von Miller to come out with the team. They had to fly on the plane with the, wives and girlfriends. He didn't let them come out for earlier in the week. To moving hotels the night before, to doing all the media on a porn boat. You should have seen this boat that was next to the hotel in Jersey. I mean, it was awful. So when I saw you guys in 2015 or 2016, Super Bowl, Santa Clara, calm, just a generic suburb hotel. All the media was in a tent right next to the hotel. Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
There was a sense of just calm and confidence. We're 2 years previous in New York. It just felt like everything was really on edge. How did Kubiak prepare you guys for that particular week? What did that week look like? Preparation.
Kubiak, he's got some magic about him. I talked about just the magic he had in handling the Brock Osweiler, Peyton Manning situation. Do you guys remember the second night we were there? And I honestly can't remember the guy's name.
Yep.
But
I know exactly what you're going to say.
What was his name? Do you know?
I forget his name too, but he was like kind of on the practice squad, and his brother wanted to find a prostitute.
Yeah.
And he got busted with a prostitute.
That's right.
With his brother, and the guy got thrown off the team. But he was on practice squad, and he hadn't been on the team. I'm forgetting his name, Richie. You gotta help me out here.
So, well,
the amazing thing is he was actually asked to be back on the team the next year.
Oh, I don't recall that, but...
But yeah, he got busted with... Him and his brother got busted with a prostitute in the second night, and you would think it's a big story.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
So my whole point is that that's a huge distraction.
It like, could have been.
Yeah, enormous, right?
Yeah.
Well, what happens?
Ryan Murphy.
Yeah, Ryan
that's
Murphy.
That's right,
what
Ryan
happens?
Murphy.
The night he gets in trouble, you know what he does? He decides, okay, I'm going to acknowledge that it happened.
Kubiak, you're talking
Kubiak,
about.
Kubiak, yeah. For 10 seconds. That's it. This happened, guys. We sent him home. There's not going to be any more distractions. It's over. He's gone. DeMarcus Ware has something to say to you.
Oh.
Yep. And then DeMarcus Ware goes up there and gives you a speech that your body's just giving goosebumps. And he's holding the Super Bowl trophy. And then he says, you know, as a matter of fact, Peyton Manning's got something to say to you. So after DeMarcus Ware goes, Peyton Manning goes. That's what we started thinking about. We didn't even remember the dude's name. Because all of a sudden, he was so smart that he realized, nope, okay, I got to put something more important in front of these guys' minds. They got to be thinking about something else.
But see, that's a great sign of a great coach, that he took that situation. He didn't allow it to marinate and seep into the players the night before the game. He addressed it. He gave his...
Barely.
He needed to address it because all the players probably knew what was going on at that time. And then you take your leaders on both the offensive side of the ball and defensive side of the ball, two guys that Hall of Famers, everyone respects in the room, and you allow them to talk. That's brilliant.
The offensive numbers for Peyton Manning.
Talk to me.
13 of 23.
Okay.
141 yards. No touchdowns, an interception. Sacked five times with a quarterback rating of 56.6. The worst offensive performance to win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
What was going on that day?
Von Miller was going on. That's what was going on.
Jordan Norwood was going on.
Jordan Norwood was going on. Von Miller was...
Malik Jackson was going on.
Malik Jackson was going on. That's right. That is absolutely right. And to be... Up front, the running game was doing enough. What was our rushing yardage?
I'll look it up. Give me a second.
C.J. Anderson had 23 carries for 90 yards and a touchdown.
Okay, that's plenty. That's plenty. You know, could you go for 150 like the Vikings every game? That would be fantastic. But you get close to 100 yards in a Super Bowl, that's enough to pick up first downs. That's enough to move the chains. And that's enough to flip the field, which was our entire game plan the entire year. We just got to flip the field. We got to let the defense hold them. We got to let them pin them. And we got to get lucky when we get down there in the red zone.
Do you guys win that Super Bowl if Brock Osweiler is the starting quarterback?
No. Well.
Wow.
I don't know. I personally don't think so. Not because of Brock. I don't like the way it's asked because it's not about Brock. To me, it's about Peyton. It's just about Peyton Manning. And even when Peyton is struggling, there is a moxie and there is an aura that when you get in that huddle, when things are bad, we were well aware that he was getting sacked. We were well aware that he was struggling, that we didn't have any yardage going on in there, but it was still Peyton Manning. And there's a belief system that you can't replicate.
So was that belief system that you're speaking of, was it just solely the persona, larger-than-life persona of Peyton, or was, you know what, our defense is playing so well and we're running the ball decently on the ground that we still can win this game even though our Hall of Fame quarterback is not performing up to the level that we've grown accustomed to watching him?
Well, it was all of the above, but it's also the intangibles that you guys would never be able to understand unless you were on the field. Number one, what I just spoke on, but number two, at the line of scrimmage, when you don't know that there's about to be a corner blitz, and Peyton Manning looks over you and he says, hey, look outside. Look outside. That's a pretty big deal. That's a pretty big deal, okay? When Peyton Manning sees the blitz coming and he checked that game, he probably got us out of 8 to 9 plays that could have been disastrous at the line of scrimmage because he identified the defense appropriately and we kept the chains moving.
How responsible was Gary Kubiak organizing, logistics, strategizing for the success of that playoff run and winning the Super Bowl?
Well, I think the beauty of Gary Kubiak is there is a sense of calmness when you are around Gary Kubiak. And he's never too high. He's never too low. And any moment is no different than the last moment. And when we got to the Super Bowl week, guess what? We had the same practice schedule. We had the exact same routine. We didn't do things differently. It was just another day that Gary Kubiak looked at you and you looked at him like, man, he doesn't look overly stressed. I don't feel overly stressed. I can't describe to you how loose that week felt.
Mm.
It was unbelievable the amount of time you spent with the guys in the hotel lobby playing cards, playing ping pong, doing whatever. You know, it was kind of like, wow, we got a lot of time on our hands.
Right.
And you were loose. You were free. But it was just another week. The practice was the exact same.
Great stuff. And that's probably the best part of Kubiak. I'm not going to say what we'll focus on tomorrow is the worst part of him. But the next year, boy, it was a different story. And it was a giant middle finger to John Elway. And it came 1 year later, the week of Gary Kubiak. We'll dig into the benching of Paxton Lynch tomorrow. It's KKFN, KKFN HD1 Longmont, Denver. Von Miller. Miller's very excited about Drew Luck.
I just want to be here when he gets famous. He's going to kill it. He's got everything you need. The other day, he ran out and did like a little bootleg, and he kind of threw it. It was an incomplete pass, but, you know, I've seen a lot of good ones play, and that was probably the best incomplete pass that I've seen thrown. And, you know, he has a little flip up.
Great.
He's just a star in the making. You know, you saw it with Tony Romo and Aaron Rodgers and all these guys are going to just blow up. And I see the same stuff for Drew. All he has to do is just keep doing what he's doing. And, you know, good karma and just the type of guy he is all going to come back to him.
Think of Vaughn's comments about
it's a terrible movie, by the way.
Well, they did it three times, so yeah, it really sucked. What do you think of Vaughn's comments about Drew Lock?
They're hilarious.
Hilarious.
They're quite hilarious. For ask a question about Drew Lock, and your statement is that, hey, listen, I've seen some great quarterbacks, and he rolls out and he throws a pass. It's incomplete though, but it's the best incomplete pass that I've ever seen. And then to mention quarterbacks by the name of, like, Aaron Rodgers, which I was like, yeah, that's great. And then you say Tony Romo, and I was like, Tony put up some pretty decent numbers but just couldn't get over the playoff hump. And I just, you know, started to reflect and look back at Drew Lock. I was like, man, if that's the best thing you could say, that he throws a great incomplete pass, I mean, wow. I mean, you set the bar real low right there, Mr. Von Miller. That's the only thing I can say.
I can't really argue with that. I mean, I do think that Vaughn was trying to be genuinely excited. And I actually think that Vaughn sounds much different in that than he sounded when he was talking about Brandon Allen before the game. I know after the game, Von Miller had the... What was the quote, guys? What? Who are the rappers?
Like he was Lil Wayne discovering Drake.
Yeah, there you go. Mm-hmm. After the game. But before the game, when he was asked about Brandon Allen, he was pretty matter of fact. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't giving you any enthusiasm. This time with Drew Lock, I actually think there's some authentic belief in Drew Lock out of Von Miller. I really do. And I think that this is an exciting week because Vic Fangio, he is doing something that I wanted him to do.
Well, here we go.
8-10, which doesn't sound like a lot. But the offense is only getting about 38, 39 snaps total. So when you look at it that way, it's pretty significant, you know?
He's talking about snaps.
Yeah, that's a huge deal. Backup quarterbacks do not get snaps with the starting unit, period. And Drew Lock got about 20% of the snaps in this practice. That, to me, is a huge thing because we've all been saying, okay, well, what's the plan? How are you going to develop him? How are you going to get him ready? And all of a sudden, he just took away reps from his starting quarterback for against the Minnesota Vikings to give reps to Drew Lock. And it's the right thing to do because your future is not Brandon Allen.
But see, that's the interesting part to figure out where it was only 38 reps. He took 10 of those reps. Were those reps, in fact, taken away from Brandon Allen or taken away from Brett Rippon? I can easily see them taking...
Well, backup quarterbacks don't get reps, so it's not taken from Brett Rippon. Yeah, tell me the last backup quarterback you saw, especially a guy like Brett Rippon off the practice squad that's getting reps during the practice. It doesn't happen.
Well, for me, I've seen it before in Cincinnati. Not in Cincinnati. I'm going to say Cincinnati. But in San Francisco, C.J. Beathard, he received reps when Jimmy G was... you know, the starting quarterback. So it's not something that's unheard of, but usually you're not giving him a bulk of the reps, but you give him something to get antiquated with the
Let me ask a logical question then. If it's unusual and it's a lot,
yes,
why doesn't he just become the backup this week?
He's not ready. He still needs another week to get
Rippon's
some practice.
Better to prepare to be the backup?
I would not have any beef if you wanted to make him the backup.
Why not?
Great, that's fine. Go ahead. Right. Matter of fact, putting a guy in halfway into a game, if something were to happen to Brandon Allen, it's not the worst of things. A guy gets opportunity, and he only has to focus on half the game. It's not the worst of problems, but I personally would not do it.
Couldn't you send a message? You take him off IR. Hey, guys, he's playing. Here we go. I mean, yes. Bryce Callahan's going on IR. A fan show more or less said it today. And Tim Patrick's going to come off. Tim Patrick should play in this game, too.
But that's the thing that makes this really ridiculous, because I know the idea is to try to give Drew Lock some reps to see what he can do and to get him prepared. But you know you're going to face a more aggressive defensive line by the Minnesota Vikings. So their chances that you may have to go to Brett Rippon in this game increase drastically. So you want to make sure that he has those reps.
Well, to that degree, then maybe it does make sense to make him the backup.
Sure. Why not?
But I could not care less about Brett Rippon not getting reps, nor could I care less about taking away reps from Brandon Allen in this situation.
Mm.
Look, guys, I get it. If you want to be like Vic and you want your only goal to be to go 4-6, good for you. You guys can approach that. I'm thinking longer picture here, and I'm thinking even throughout just the remainder of this season, and I need Drew Lock to get reps.
Here's Scangarello talking about the quality of the reps.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the ratios and all that stuff, but I know that in the end...
Wait a second. You're not? The head coach just did.
He probably doesn't know that, though.
Mm.
He wasn't sitting there during Vic's presser.
He comes on right after him.
Is he sitting there? You're there.
Yeah.
Does he stand there listening to it?
Well, I mean, I don't know if he's listening or not. He's standing right there. All right, anyways, here we go.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the ratios and all that stuff, but I know that in the end we've had a plan, how to manage it, how that affects our reps on offense, whether we do a little bit more than the defense to give a guy a couple more snaps. But the reality of it is the starting quarterback in the NFL is going to take at least 90% of the snaps every week in practice, and that's no different this week.
Wow. Two different things. Vic said, I know I'm parsing hairs here, but Vic said basically Lock got 20% of the snaps, and then Scangarello said he got 10% of the snaps.
That was pretty matter of fact also, and it's no different this week.
Right.
So which one was it?
I'm going to trust Scangarello because he's there. He's the offensive coordinator. He's watching these guys.
Again, if you have, he said 38 snaps, and Fangio said 8 to 10, but if Scangarello is saying, no, it's half of that, it's really only 4 or 5 snaps.
Exactly. That's expected because, once again, Fangio said he's trying to go 4-6. They're still trying to win football games, so you need to get these two quarterbacks ready.
I think you're going to have the truth.
I will say this. You probably are. Scangarello is probably the one telling the truth there. But even if it is only 4 to 5 reps,
yeah,
that is different because those reps should be going to your backup quarterback, which in this circumstance is Brett Rippon, and you're choosing to give those to Drew Lock.
But if you're going to do that, D-Mac, you might as well go ahead and activate Drew Lock and just go ahead and make him officially your backup behind Brandon Allen. And not even have Brett Rippon sitting in that position. If you're going to give those, if you're going to give those reps to Drew Lock,
maybe
just do that. What are we waiting for?
I don't know. To me, this would be relatively simple. And it certainly would send a message about what the future plan is. But again, we have heard from Mike Kliss that really the plan for Drew Lock is Detroit and Oakland, last two games of the year. So while we may be, let's go, let's go, let's go, the plan for the Broncos, in truth, may be, we're fine. Detroit and Oakland. They've got to make a decision on Drew Lock before the Chargers game. That's the 21 days after you come off of,
IR.
So they really got tons of time.
What is your gut telling you?
My gut tells me we won't see Drew Lock until Detroit and Oakland. That's what my gut tells me.
So he's activated by the Chargers games off by IR.
He has to be.
Oh, man. And last two games.
Now he's the backup. Is he the backup?
Not unless if they can go three quarterbacks, he doesn't have to be the backup. Nikki Javala joins us, and Nikki is of The Athletic, brought to you by Ent Credit Union. There seemed to be a discrepancy, Nikki, Snapgate, in terms of how many snaps that Drew Lock actually got, because Fangio said it was the equivalent of 20%. Scangarello said it was really the equivalent of 10%. It's the difference of getting 8 or 9 snaps compared to 4 or 5. Where do you think the truth meets out in that one?
Probably somewhere in between. I think what Vic was saying is that's what they're working up to. He said that earlier in the week, you know, we're going to get him there where he's taking, you know, a significant chunk of the offensive snap. So he might be taking 2 less now, but he'll get 2 more down the road. I mean, I think his point was being that he's going to get his snaps and his reps, and they really want to make sure he has a chance to show what he can do, and for the coaching staff to really get a solid look at him.
All right, well, Nikki, I guess I would ask you this. Does this change anything about Drew Lock's future? You know, it would appear to me that there is a difference in the tone in the way Vic Fangio is speaking about Drew Lock this week. Last week, the guy's not ready. This week, he's magically gotten better in the 10 reps that he's been given. Is there something different going on right now?
No, honestly, I think it's kind of in line with what they're saying. I mean, I don't think he completely did a 180, and I don't think we can make any broad assumptions or, you know, kind of assessments about his future after 3 days of practice. But I think what they're saying is kind of what they expected, and this is kind of why they wanted to play the long game with him and let him sit and observe, because it can get to the point where you are just overwhelmed in training camp, especially, you know, coming out of the offense he did and learning every little nuance about a pretty complex system. So I think his point was, you know, just kind of stepping back and digesting it all really helped him grasp the offense and improve on the small things. So when he came back, he, you know, while it was a kind of a hindrance physically, he was able to step back in and really have a better feel for those things because the little things were mainly the things that were holding him up in training camp and preseason, be it, you know, footwork or just the reads, the tempo of the game. So I think his point was just kind of taking a step back was helpful for him. And, you know, you do see it a lot. I mean, people kind of forget that Aaron Rodgers sat for quite a bit before he became Aaron Rodgers. So I think that's kind of what they're hoping for with Drew Lock. They may not have the luxury of that kind of time, but they also don't want to rush it. I mean, they've seen what happens when that happens. I think they would like to get him some reps this season, maybe even get him some playing time, but a lot of that's dependent on how the team is doing, how Brandon Allen's doing. So they're just kind of taking it week by week right now.
So, Nikki, Tim Patrick makes his triumphant comeback. Now that he's back in the fold, how could that possibly change things for how this offense moves along in Sunday's game?
I think it changes a lot of things. I know Rich Scangarello really likes Tim Patrick. I mean, when I asked him about the guys on IR a few weeks ago, when it seemed like, you know, a couple of them were going to start practicing again, the first one he mentioned was Tim Patrick, not Drew Lock or Jake Button. That's no knock against them, but I was kind of surprised that he brought him up first and talked about how valuable he is to the offense. I think it changes a lot of things. I'm curious to see how much he'll be able to do because he'll be wearing a brace, sort of like a club on his hand, because he's got hardware in his hand, so he needs some protection. But I think it changes a lot of things. I think it also helps Courtland Sutton kind of open things up because, you know, you got another big-bodied receiver, not just Courtland, that, you know, defenses have to account for. So I think it opens the field a bit. I'm curious to see if they kind of tweak the game plan to get him more opportunities. But I think it's only a positive that he's back in the fold.
All right, Bryce Callahan going on IR probably by this weekend.
Yeah, I would expect. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the corresponding move for Tim Patrick just to clear that roster spot. I mean, you could see the writing on the wall this whole time with him.
Okay. All right, Nikki, good job. We will talk to you. Well, this is the last time we'll talk to you this week. You have a prediction for this week?
Oh, I don't know. This is a tough one. I'm picking Minnesota.
That's all right. We all see what's going on, but we're gonna try to thank you, Nikki. We appreciate it, Nikki Jabal of the Athletic, brought to you by End Credit Union. It is a Think Big Thursday, so we'll dig into how the Broncos can actually win here in about 10 minutes or so. I do want to play Vaughn. I'm not gonna say he was badgered, but here's the question about: does he watch his teammate sacks and see that they couldn't do it without him getting doubled? I mean, it's kind of this, like, making excuses for him.
I never do that. What's wrong with y'all today? What's going on? I'm always talking about the Vikings. Stephon Diggs is incredible on the field, and he's an even better dresser off the field. And looking forward to going against those guys. Kirk Cousins was trying to get this guy, here. Had a whole campaign to get this guy here about 2 years ago. You know how I feel about him. I think he's a great quarterback. They have a great offensive line as well. But it all goes with, with 33. It all goes with Devin Cook and the whole offense, the whole vibe, the whole momentum goes off of that kid. And we got to do a really good job of bottling up the run and playing the run really well to even have a chance in this game. So we're playing a great team, but I feel like the way we've been playing, we're up for the challenge to go to Minnesota and play a great game as well.
Do you think people are feeling... Like, the reporters are feeling a little bad for Vaughn. Like, he doesn't have the same numbers, and they're kind of tiptoeing around stuff and thinking that he's really emotionally upset about it.
Well, they weren't really tiptoeing. I mean, they asked some pretty direct questions at the beginning of this, and it was all about the sacks, right? So, do they feel bad? It sounded like Cecil sounded
all right, how about
bad.
This? Do you think Vaughn, if people are asking questions, they may think Vaughn is feeling a certain way about it.
And he is.
He is.
Of course he is.
You have to think. I mean, he's built this reputation of being a fun-loving guy, but a fun-loving guy who loves to get after quarterbacks. I mean, when Tyler was talking about going to the Super Bowl, it was a lot about what that defense was able to do, and Vaughn was a key part of
you
that.
You think it's bugging him?
Would it not bug you? If you were a quarterback and you were used to playing at a high level, and all of a sudden you ran into a rough patch due to injury or a change in scheme, would that not bother you if your numbers were not matching what they were the previous year? You'd be upset.
Okay. I don't know, because football is such a team game, though. And there's a lot of things that, you work into, smiling. You guys are both smiling at me.
Is it not a team game? It's a team game, but guys are voted into the Pro Bowl based on what? Individual production. So if your individual production is not where it needs to, you start to think that people are starting to look down on you like you're incapable of doing what they've come to know you to do.
Well, of course it's a team game, but of course I will admit that I've been that guy that after a victory, I've moped. I've pouted after a victory because I didn't have a good game. I've been that guy that...
What's not having a good game for an offensive tackle?
I gave up a sack.
A sack.
Yeah, are you kidding me?
Sack out of 60 snaps.
Give up a single snap in an NFL football game and you had a terrible game as an offensive lineman. Yes, that's a fact. So I give up a sack and I was moping because I was worried about my performance. I've also done the opposite. Judge me if you want. We have lost a football game and I've walked away with my head held high because I knew that I dominated. Have you never done that, Nick?
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Listen, man, I'm not laughing to say anything about you, but no, I've never done that.
Wow, I've never met an athlete that has never done that.
No, I haven't, and I think a lot of that has to do with how I came into the league, because I mean I was my biggest critic, and for me being a safety, like you're saying, being
well,
a tackle,
so then Vaughn doesn't have anything to be upset with, then, or does he?
No, it all depends on who he is. I think that he is upset. That people are constantly asking you every time you go to the podium, win or lose, about your sacks. It's like, man, get off the sacks. Let's talk about the Vikings team that we're playing against, right? So I understand it. It would definitely piss me off. And like you said, if you were a tackle and you gave up one sack, yes, you were upset.
Darn right.
For me, it was like if I missed the tackle, I'm pissed.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you got roasted. I'm sure there was a game in which you got beat deep twice, right? And the team won the game. Did you walk away celebrating?
No.
So you just said what?
No. If I got beat in the game, I'm not walking away celebrating anything. I'm going back and watching the tape saying, look, I didn't perform well.
Oh, my gosh. You just said that you'd never done what I did.
No.
That's exactly what
I
said.
Unless I misunderstood what you were saying. But for me,
I guess you did, because my entire point was that I've definitely been that guy that when we have won a game and I played poorly, I've walked away pouting. Yeah, I've been that guy when we lost a game and I played very, very well. I walked away with my head held high.
But see, that's what I was responding to. The team won the game. You played well, but you were focused on, hey, listen, I played well, even though we lost. I didn't do that. No. I would never do that.
Hold on.
I would never do that.
When we come back.
I'm pretty sure you just said that you didn't do that exact thing.
We will go tail of the tape. It's Think Big Thursday. I think we're on the same page in a wacky way. But there are ways to actually beat the Vikings, and we'll dig into it coming up next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.